After a long off season of swearing that we would never forgive the Eagles for what they did last season, for the disaster of a year that the 2020 season was, here we are, the weekend of week one of the NFL, ready to be heard again. This is the 2021 Eagles season preview. Welcome to another episode of It's Always Something in Philadelphia, along with Alec Leipsch, as always. And joining us today, our special, super intelligent, super in tune with the game, Eagles correspondent, Vinny Colavita. How you fellas doing here?
I'm doing great.
I've been looking forward to this. This is going to be a fun one.
This is good. So we sit here today, obviously virtually, looking at each other on a screen. But we gathered here together today to ring in the 2021 Philadelphia Eagles season, a season that started off on a pretty good note without the Eagles having to do anything. Anybody who watched the Thursday night football game with the Buccaneers taking on the Cowboys saw the Cowboys lose in crushing fashion to the Bucs, to Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady is inevitable. And first place feels good. I mean, that's pretty much all I got to say about that. Feels good to be in first here. For the season preview, we're basically just going to give you a rundown of the roster, some of the position groups, how we feel about them, X factors for this team. I have a feeling a lot of ours are going to be similar, as well are everybody else's. Everybody knows what this team needs to do. We'll give you some hot takes, some cold takes maybe. That it obviously remains to be seen. But, you know, we'll wrap it up with some season predictions that will be very fun to look back at, I'm sure, 17 weeks from now, or 18, I guess, with this new weird schedule. But let's get right into it. First of all, how do you guys feel that football is finally back? Alec, I'll go to you first.
It's a sign that the summer is over, which is unfortunate, but it is also a sign that baseball season is coming to a close. And I know that Kenny did not want to mention a certain baseball team, so we can finally move away from that and into Eagles season. So I'm happy about that.
Fuck them. Go ahead, Vin.
It's good. You know, I was sitting on my couch, throwing a couple beers back, and everything felt good again.
We are so back. It's unbelievable.
It's nice. It's nice to have football back. It's also nice to root against the Cowboys again. I will say, as much as I hate the Cowboys, it's nice to see Prescott back on the field. He did really well last night.
Yeah, he looked good. He looks like he's back from that ankle injury. We will talk about that probably towards the end of the episode, the division outlook, how the NFC beast is looking this year. Once again, raring to be the best division in football, but we'll get into that later. Let's start with let's talk some special teams here, fellas. You know, special teams is sometimes the equalizer. Most important unit on the field, I think. I'm obviously kidding here. You know, how are we feeling about the long snapper going into the season? Rick Lovato returns. Very long tenured Eagle. How are we feeling?
Can I take this one? Yeah.
I'll talk first from here on out.
Go ahead. How do you feel about Rick Lovato then?
I feel good about him. I actually used to think that was a relation to Demi Lovato somehow, but it's not. And that's all I got to say about him, really.
Yeah. No news is usually good news with a position like long snapper. So if we don't hear too much about him, it's probably a good thing.
There probably could be major news and you just wouldn't hear because he is the long snapper after all. The big thing, so the Eagles always have punters that have interesting, well, I guess not necessarily the Eagles because Donnie Jones wasn't a crazy name, but they always have punters with like around the league are just stupid names. And they're always like New Zealand guys. Like they always have weird names. The current punter for the Eagles is named Aaron Sipas. And Aaron is spelled A-R-R-Y-N. I don't have any analysis on the punter other than that is a particular name. I'm sure we'll have to work it into a pun at some point over the course of the season.
I've never been worried about the punter since I've been watching Eagles football, so I don't expect to be worried about him this year.
will breeze right past the punter, honestly. Alec, unless you have some riveting analysis for Aaron Sipos.
It looks like he is from Melbourne, so that's cool. He's from Australia. But, yeah, I'm generally anti-punting most times in games, so I hope to not see him that much.
I believe the locals call it Melbourne. So there you go. You got more punter talk than you thought you were going to get on this episode. So full disclosure, in our little pre-episode powwow, we decided that we were going to start at the most boring end of the positional spectrum. Hence why we've spent the last 5 minutes talking about the long snapper and the punter. But let's move on to Jalen Reagor. We'll obviously get to him as the, you know, Eagles wide receiver two, wide receiver three. But for right now, he's listed on the depth chart as the main punt returner, followed closely by Devontae Smith and Greg Ward. I know he had, I think, only one punt return for a touchdown last year. Only, I shouldn't say only one, because one punt return for a touchdown is good last season. And that kind of seems like a position that's suited for his skill set. How do you guys feel about Reagor at the punt return position?
I mean, I'm fine with it. I'll get into it, how I feel about him at the receiver position later. But punt returning, I mean, I feel like I liked Ward back there for the when he was back there. So I guess we'll see how he plays. Again, not something I've concerned myself with much as an Eagles fan.
Yeah, Reagor was a big punt returner in college and kick returner, so him taking on that same role in the NFL is not too surprising. It'll definitely help him add more value to the Eagles than what he currently does as a like below average WR2, WR3. So yeah, if he can provide special teams value, that would really help the Eagles. So yeah, let's hope he gets one or two punt kick returns for touchdowns this year.
I will say, I do think it's weird when teams have, you can't call Reagor a star player, but like a main facet of the offense, obviously, when they have one of their main players as their punt returner, kick returner, particularly like the Cowboys had CeeDee Lamb as punt return last night, which first of all feels like a weird fit positionally anyway. But that just feels like such a vulnerable position. I don't really understand why guys do that.
I think it's just because Reagor has that skill set and they just want to use him the way, you know, part of the reason he was probably picked so high by the Eagles is because of his special team skills. So probably just want to make use of it.
It makes sense when you look at the type of player he is, but, and we'll talk about it, but with the positional depth the Eagles have at wide receiver, it doesn't really make a ton of sense to put him out there. Just, you know, from the perspective that I'm taking here, Kenny Gainwell is going to return the kicks. We'll see what happens. That's probably a position that's likely going to cycle throughout the year. I mean, that's usually what most teams do. They kind of go with a hot hand kick return. We'll see what they do there. But, you know, probably the most important position on special teams is the place kicker. And for the fifth season, I believe this will be, Jake Elliott will man the kicking duties. How do you guys feel about Jake the Snake?
Wasn't a big fan of him last year. Hopefully he can get back to his 2017 form. Because I was of the group that said we probably could have cut him at some point last year. So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully he can recapture that magic.
Yeah, he's one of the highest paid kickers in football. So it would be very nice to see him recapture some of that great form from 2017. Yeah, kickers, again, they only get so many shots at it, as we saw with Greg Zuerlein last night. We expect good things from him, I hope.
Vin, you're shaking your head there. Did you have Greg Clegg on your fantasy team?
I didn't, no. I just – there's something about that guy that watching him miss field goals and extra points fills me with a joy I haven't found in life so far. And it really doesn't have anything to do with him being on the Cowboys. I don't know what it is, because I was like genuinely having like an elementary schooler giggle every time he like missed a kick. I don't know why.
For me, that was Dan Bailey when he was on the Cowboys. I hated Dan Bailey. I think it goes back to one instance where somebody had gotten run out of bounds on a play, and Dan Bailey like tried to like get big with them, and I was like, dude, like you're the kicker. Like you are the smallest guy on the team. You can't try to do that. But yeah, special teams for the Eagles, that's how it's shaken out. It's really tough to put genuine analysis to his special teams unit heading into the season. So we'll see if they end up being explosive, making plays, or what. What? Vinny's giving me the finger right here.
Yeah, I don't know what Vinny's up to.
Vinny's trying to steer the ship offensively here. What's your time out? What?
We can't hear you.
I got my dog scratching up against the door, and he's like yelping, and I just need to let him in real quick.
That's okay, dude. You're mute. It's okay. You know, we're rolling with the punches, man.
All right, fine. I'm sorry. I tried to make this as professional as possible.
You know, I think you hold us to too high of a standard.
Yeah, we've each had our own dog issues on this pod.
We have had multiple times where our dogs were featured on the episode. It's okay. We're leaving all this in. Let's move on to the defense. I think other people think the defense will likely be the strength of this team. We'll start with the defensive backs, which is an area in which the Eagles have sorely lacked for most of recent history. They obviously have Darius Slay. They drafted very defensive back heavy, picking up Zach. I don't know how many times I'm going to call him Zach over the course of the season. Zach McPherson. Kayvon Wallace was a pick they made early last season. It's not a great defensive backfield, but, you know, guys like Steven Nelson they brought in, like, I'm hoping that the starters will be okay, but the depth behind them will obviously be an issue. What do you guys make of the current defensive back situation?
I think you hit it pretty good. I like Steven Nelson. I just think cornerback's one of those positions where the starters are obviously like need to be like great like players, but I would argue it's a weird position where like the backups are almost more important than the starters are, and we're not there. And I honestly, Steven Nelson's good. I don't know that he fixes any glaring problems other than having literally a moving human body at the cornerback two position.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you guys. The starting lineup is fine when it comes to the defensive backs, but once you get any further past that, I mean, Avante Maddox in the slot. After that, it's a huge question mark. Zach McPherson's going to be like featured in the cornerback rotation, which is not great. I don't think most rookie corners don't do well, especially not a guy who every team had three chances to pick on and didn't until the Eagles picked in the fourth. So, yeah, I'm pretty worried about the depth after this, especially if Slay or Steven Nelson were to miss time. McLeod is out for game one against the Falcons this Sunday, for those who didn't know. So that'll be a problem. But, you know, we've also never seen what Jonathan Gannon can do with this secondary because he's never been a defensive coordinator. So maybe he has something up his sleeve. We didn't see too much in the preseason. But, yeah, I am definitely anxious about this part of the defense.
Yeah, I agree. I think Steven Nelson is a solid cornerback. The question is he good enough to be the guy that teams are going to throw at every time? You know, guys, our teams are going to try to avoid to go at Darius Slay as much as they can, and it's going to be up to him to step up to really, you know, make that least starting unit work. I will say, as much as I like Avante Maddox, you know, hail to Pitt, big fan of him personally. I'm happy that he's not going to be thrust into a starting role this year because he's just not a starting caliber cornerback. He's too undersized. So, yeah, the depth is not there, especially with McLeod missing the first game. But it's just – it's something that we're probably going to get burned by a bunch of times over the course of the season. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm excited to see more from Kayvon Wallace, though, I will say that. Nothing. Okay.
All right. That guy's got a Philly heart, so sure. I liked him from the start.
Sure. Oh, nice. Nice little rhyme there.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Talking about the Eagles, what kind of dog you have? Beagle? Oh, Alec has a beagle.
I do have a beagle, yes.
That's correct. What? No way.
Beagle.
No way. But yeah, enough of that nonsense. Moving on to the linebacking core. And we'll tie that in with the defensive line as well. So the front seven, Definitely going to be the strength of the defense, has been, aside from the linebackers last year, so maybe just the front of the front seven last year was a strength of the defense, the defensive line. Definitely going to need to carry the defense this year. They did make some moves to get some guys to fill out that linebacking core. I can't name one linebacker from last year aside from Alex Singleton and Nathan Gary. And Nathan Gary was the worst linebacker I've ever watched in my life. But, you know, they have Eric Wilson at the middle linebacker, TJ Edwards. Jarrod Avery is listed. So do you guys – so this is probably a stupid question. It's going to expose me. But on the Eagles depth chart, Jarrod Avery is listed as SLB. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's abbreviation for Sam linebacker, which is another abbreviation that I don't know what that means. But, yes, he is technically a starter.
So Jarrod Avery was traded for what, like a fourth-round pick?
Yeah, it was a future fourth from Cleveland and 2 years ago.
We've seen nothing from him. So
correct.
The fact that he's a starter is either bad, probably bad, or exciting because we're finally going to get some production out of him. But there is a little bit more to that linebacker core than there was last year. And the defensive line is still very solid. What do you guys make of the linebackers as well as the defensive line?
Yeah, the linebackers, like you said, it's definitely an improvement. But I think it's clear that it's still early in the process of revamping it. I was going to mention Alex Singleton in the X Factor part of this, so I'll save it till then. But yeah, the front of the front seven, the D-line, I honestly can't remember a recent time that I've had to worry about that as an Eagles fan too much, and I imagine it'll be the same again this year. So yeah, not too worried about the D-line, and I think we're still early in the process for linebackers.
Yeah, you guys hit it on the head. It's better than last year, and last year was abysmal, so any upward progress is a good thing. We have no idea what to expect from Jarrod Avery, so that's a huge question mark. But Singleton's been here before. He's definitely an energy guy who will help keep things stable when the defense is underperforming, which is definitely going to happen a lot this year. I'm excited to see what Davion Taylor is going to do, because he was a third-round pick in 2020, and we didn't see any of him last year because he was still kind of growing into an NFL body. So I imagine he'll be a part of the defense a lot. Patrick Johnson's going to be featured a lot, the rookie from Tulane. That's not going to be great. I know we talked about him on the draft recap pod, but hopefully not too much from him. But again, the front four is going to be a strength, I think, with Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, and Josh Sweat. Barnett and Sweat are both listed as starters for the same spot, which I find weird according to the Eagles like homepage. But Hargrave and Cox, as long as they are featured a lot, as long as they're healthy, they'll definitely be a strength of the defensive line, can make up for a lot of the linebackers' weaknesses. Overall, I would just say, yeah, the defensive line is good, and the linebackers are going to be a weakness once again.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Vinny, to your point about not having to worry about the defensive line being – a weakness. It feels like ever since we've had, for as long as we've had Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, the defensive line has been a plus for the Eagles, which is obviously a very, very positive thing. It's one of the most underappreciated facets of a good football team is a dominant defensive line. So it's nice to have a little bit of defensive end depth. The Eagles in the past have been known to, you know, kind of rotate guys on the ends. Ryan Kerrigan bringing in, I still can't like wrap my head around that as a signing, but I think he's going to be good behind Brandon Graham, and you know, Josh Sweat was received a lot of buzz coming out of camp. He was one of the most popular players in camp, so it'll be, you know, hopeful to see if he's able to really take that next step. He's started to really produce the last few seasons, so I'm definitely hopeful that he's going to maybe turn into the premier pass rusher on this offense. I don't know. We'll get into it. Who do you guys think is going to lead the team in sacks?
I was going to say Sweat. Honestly, the thing I've been hearing most about him is that he's a sack machine. Granted, that's against our own O-line, but admittedly, I haven't paid much attention to him throughout the year, so I'll have to keep an eye on him this year. But to your point that you were saying about how our D line since Graham and Cox have been here has always been solid. I mean, every season, the first thing you hear about the Eagles is that our lines are the best part of the team. And that's, you know, definitely a plus, but it means nothing.
Why does it mean anything?
Well, because we stink, or at least last year we stunk.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, last year, and that's a good segue here, because Alec, who do you think, before we go, who do you think is going to lead the team in sacks?
I was going to say Sweat to be out of the box, but it looks like that's a mainstream opinion. So, yeah, I'll stick with Sweat.
Well, now I'm not going to bother saying it. Good pivot, though. Let's talk about the offensive line. Finally healthy. The line dealt with a lot of injuries over the past season. Brandon Brooks missed all of the 2020 season, I believe, he ruptured his Achilles and then tore his ACL, right?
Something like that.
Two major injuries back to back. Lane Johnson missed time with an ankle injury. But now the starting unit is looking like Mailata at left tackle, which Jordan Mailata is a fantastic story. Isaac Seumalo at left guard, Kelsey at center, Brandon Brooks right guard, and Lane Johnson, obviously, at right tackle. You know, in my opinion, a really, really solid unit. I think the right side of the line has the potential to be a top 3 to 5 unit in the league with Brooks and Lane Johnson. I've always said that I think Lane Johnson is the best right tackle in the NFL. But it's, again, going to come down to health. But I really think that that is going to be the strength of this offense. And it's going to be big for developing a quarterback like Hurts.
Yeah, I'm excited about the O-line this year. Hopefully they can all stay healthy this time around. I hate Andre Dillard, and I hope he listens to this. Yeah, other than that, I mean, you said you think the right side of the line could be top five unit in the league. I think they're probably one or two, honestly. I mean, if those two guys stay healthy for the whole year – they're probably the best duo on the right side of the line.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Go into why you hate Andre Dillard.
No.
Do it. Do it.
I hate Andre Dillard mainly because we spent a first-round draft pick on him. But, he just sucks. And I was hoping that we could have gotten a trade for him. And then I believe we ended up trading Pryor.
Yep.
And so then I was like, we traded the wrong guy. And then everybody was like, oh, shut up. We got a free draft pick. And I was like, okay. But, that guy stinks. I'm hoping he never sees the field outside of garbage time this year, honestly.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think the offensive line in general is going to be a strength, even the left side with Mailata and Seumalo. It's just a matter of if they can all stay on the field, because the second unit, not that too many teams have a great second unit of offensive linemen, but the Eagles in particular, until Dickerson is healthy and ready to go, I think they're pretty weak in the second with their backups. Dillard, especially, like Vinny said, Nate Herbig is not very good. And I don't know anything about Brett Tooth. So hopefully, if the starting five stays healthy and they all perform somewhat close to what they're expected to, then yeah, I think the Eagles offensive line can be really, really good. And that can pay dividends to the rest of the offense, which we will get into.
Yeah. Nate Herbig is pretty bad. But
kind of the last name is Herbig.
Herbig. Well, it makes sense because kind of my point here, like that he is a massive, massive human being. Like he is a giant. Like if he was alive in the 1600s, like they would have captured him and like put him on display somewhere because he's just massive. He would have been like a sideshow guy. I can just see it now. Landon Dickerson, I'm excited for his future with the Eagles. I think he's going to be, they can probably put him anywhere on the line. He's such a phenomenal athlete. He does have a bit of a knee injury, I think it is now, but he's an exciting piece. I was really high on that pick when they made it. And Jordan Mailata, I am so happy with that guy. What a cool story. Just coming over from playing rugby, never had played American football in his life. And now he's, you know, replacing a cornerstone of the Eagles franchise in Jason Peters, and doing it pretty well. And just, again, phenomenal athlete, huge human being, and beautiful singing voice.
I did not hear that.
Do yourself a favor. If anybody at home hasn't heard Jordan Mailata, the golden pipes of Jordan Mailata, definitely look it up. He is a very talented, talented man. He sings and plays guitar in, like, the locker room all the time. And just probably soothes the Eagles after a violent loss to the Dolphins by 18 points or something this year. I can see it now. Ooh. Yeah. No, he's very cool. That's what I'm saying. He's a great story. I'm still a little salty that we don't have any packages for him on the offense, on like a goal line situation. If you've ever seen the videos of him playing rugby, the dude can fly. So I get why they don't want to put their left tackle in that situation, but man, that would be so fun. And in my opinion, hugely successful. So.
Well, if they had another left tackle to put out there, they could, but they don't. Yeah.
Well, that'd
be fun.
Yeah, that
was that guy on the Chiefs that always did that.
Dontari Poe. He was the
defensive
tackle. Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't.
He holds the record for heaviest player to throw a touchdown pass.
Oh wow. Okay.
By a lot. Yeah. And you know what's funny is the previous player was Jamarcus Russell, who was that. Wow! I just got a notification from Zoom. It says, a gift from Zoom. Running out of time, we have removed the 40-minute time limit on your meeting.
Let's go.
Wow. They must know that today is the Eagles preview.
I was going to say, they're Eagles fans.
What a special occasion. Yeah, they're listening to us on this, and they decided, hey, we got to let these kids go. Let these guys fire off at the mouth.
Yes.
Let's move on to tight end. This was interesting to see to me. I don't think it's a surprise to any of us, but – Dallas Goedert is listed over Zach Ertz at the tight end position in the depth chart. I've been a bigger Dallas Goedert fan than Zach Ertz over the past few seasons. I think he has a higher potential than Ertz at this point. But it's interesting to see them name him the main tight end, even though I do believe we're going to see a lot of 12 personnel with both of them on the field at the same time, which I think is going to be a good thing.
Yeah. I'm pretty hot on the tight end position. I think if you see enough of both of them, then you're looking at the Eagles having two top 10 tight ends. Ertz coming back with the attitude that he has, I do think he's going to have that bounce back season, just because I think with last season and everything that was going on in terms of, you know, what people thought and he was going to leave and everything, I think with the attitude he's coming in to with this season is, at least in my opinion, making me think that he's probably looking to have that bounce back season. Other than that, yeah, I'm excited. Goddard, you know, there was something about how after Mark Andrews signed that 4-year contract that he was a little, like, I don't even know, concerned, I guess. I don't think Goddard has shown quite enough to earn Mark Andrews money yet, if that's what he was insinuating, but we'll see.
For sure. He definitely hasn't. I agree with you there, but he's always like year to year, a breakout candidate for me. And it just hasn't happened. Although I do think that with the way that Hertz's the play style works, that Goddard could definitely benefit from that, especially because he's a way better of a blocker than Ertz. But I think having both on the field at the same time will definitely, increase Hertz's like options and give him a lot more flexibility with what he wants to do in the offense. So yeah, I think this has to be like the best tight end duo in the league, if not like the second best, maybe behind New England, if you're into Hunter Henry.
Yeah, certainly not a big Hunter Henry guy. I think it's probably the case with them is they're the best two tight ends in the league playing together. I mean, my issue with Ertz over the past few seasons has not necessarily been tied to his performance. It's more so you guys have heard the nickname No Yak Zach. He's never been a very tough player. He doesn't really fight for yards after contact, and he kind of goes down too easily sometimes. He did obviously have a little bit of a drop off last year in production, but the offense was so putrid to begin with that I'm not really going to put that on him. I agree with what you guys are saying with him coming back this year, with you know, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder and being motivated to have a much better season than last year is going to be a really good thing for the Eagles. And, you know, we talked about it a lot. 12 personnel is going to be ran a lot with this particular offense. Nick Sirianni was a big fan of 12 personnel, and it's only going to help the offense. It's only going to help Jalen Hurts to have, you know, developing quarterbacks, young developing quarterbacks, having a solid tight end is always a good thing for them to rely on, kind of like a safety blanket. But having two is really going to help him. It's really going to, I guess, hopefully open up the offense, get them a lot of different looks they can do. And I'm excited to see what they're able to do with both Goddard and Ertz as well this season. Moving to one of the most volatile positions on the Eagles roster over the past few seasons, one that's always talked about and one that never seems to be fixed, the wide receiver position. The Eagles currently have 5 wide receivers on their roster. One of them is on IR. I don't even know who Michael Walker is. The wide receiver depth chart right now is Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, Quez Watkins, and then behind those three, Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. The big thing, first of all, interesting thing to come out of camp was the cutting of Travis Fulgham and obviously the selection of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over Fulgham. We all remember the curious case of Travis Fulgham. Last season started to light the world on fire and then just completely disappeared from the offense. And then this year was reported to have a really bad camp. Did not perform well in the preseason games. The last preseason game against the Jets had a big fumble. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside also happened to have a big touchdown that game, which ended up being the decider. What do you guys make of the Travis Fulgham, Arcega-Whiteside situation?
I mean, I trust – it's weird to say because they're new, but I trust this coaching staff enough that it was probably the right call. I mean, more likely than not, the Fulgham situation was probably a fluke. I don't know if that would mean that you keep Arcega-Whiteside over him, but because I mean, I've essentially given up on that guy. But if it meant keeping Arcega-Whiteside over Fulgham, I would imagine that the Fulgham situation from last year was likely a fluke, and he just didn't show up in camp this year.
Yeah, I just think they decided to go with the younger guy who has more potential because they know what they're getting in Fulgham. And it's clear that because of Fulgham's history with other teams, I mean, he couldn't stick with the Lions and he couldn't stick with Aaron Rodgers either. So clearly he's either a coach's nightmare or a quarterback's nightmare, like something about the way he is either like not knowing the playbook or something like that we don't see as fans, as analysts, that they didn't like nobody likes him in the league. He might get some other opportunity somewhere else, but it's clear that if three coaching staffs, four actually, if you include Doug Peterson, then, you know, we're only getting so much. So maybe taking the swing on the younger guy who was once a second round pick, contrary to popular belief, I think it just came down to that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it likely boils down to a personality thing, in addition to what was an overblown few weeks. He's clearly not the receiver that he looked to be in those few weeks. And it's funny, like I there's definitely somebody out there with like a customized Fulgham Eagles jersey. He was lighting the city on fire for a few weeks. We were talking about like, oh, we finally got our wide receiver one, Travis Fulgham, baby. No, that guy he disappeared. Just a weird situation there. I'm with you, Vinny. I've kind of also given up on Arcega-Whiteside. But we'll have to see what this season has in store for him. This is probably his last chance with the Eagles, considering he's caught, what, like 15 balls in 2 years? Like, does he even have that many catches over the course of two seasons? Like, that dude is a complete zero. So we'll see what he's able to bring to this season. But enough of the last receiver on the depth chart. Let's talk about the starters. Obviously, Devontae Smith is the big name that everybody gets drawn to. The Eagles needed to address the wide receiver position this year, and they did so big time, bringing on the Heisman winner from last season's college football season. I'm very excited about Devontae Smith. The biggest concern with him is going to be injuries. I feel like we're going to say that a lot about a lot of different people, but I think he has the potential to be a true wide receiver one in this league. I think he's a phenomenal route runner. He's got phenomenal hands, and you know, he and Jalen Hurts have played together in the past, which I think is a very cool dynamic as well. Then there's obviously Jalen Reagor. I've talked about in the past a little bit about how I am confident in the this new coaching staff's ability to scheme plays that play to his strong suits, specifically the plays they used to call for Michael Pittman in Indianapolis. A lot of plays where they just get him the ball in space. Maybe if it's behind a screen, like they're just going to get him the ball and let him work. That's kind of what he's suited for. And then Quez Watkins. So Quez Watkins was the big surprise in camp. Outperformed probably all the receivers and really turned a lot of heads. What do you guys make of this starting unit, and which one are you most excited to see?
I'm not as excited as I probably should be about the unit itself. Of course, I'm excited about Smith, and Watkins looked good, especially in the preseason, catching that long touchdown from Flacco. So I'm more excited about seeing the individual performances than I am about like how they play as a group, just because if you look at the group, it's three guys who essentially have to prove themselves throughout the season. I mean, it's a guy who hasn't played a regular season NFL game yet. It's a guy who has been here for a couple of years and, you know, hasn't really taken the jump yet. And then I'm not sure if Quez Watkins has been here for a bit.
He was drafted same year as Reagor last year.
Okay. So yeah, another situation where it just kind of needs to take that jump into the regular season. So I can't be too excited with three guys who haven't really had their time to shine yet. But I'm excited to see how they all perform on at an individual standpoint.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on Vinny's side with this, Ken. I think you gave a great synopsis on all the receivers. And Vinny, I mostly agree that I'm not looking at this whole unit to be very good. I'm pretty bearish on their success this season, especially if Smith misses any games, which is very possible given his frame is not totally NFL ready yet. If he misses any time, the WR1 is Jalen Reagor. We're not looking at too hot of a receiving core at that point, unless Quez Watkins is as good as he was in preseason, which is highly unlikely. But I think this will be a weakness of the offense. I think it's the weakest link in the offense, actually. And we just have to appreciate the bright spots that we do see throughout the season.
Yeah, you kind of put it in an interesting way, Vinny. You're more excited to see the individual performances than you are to see the performance of the unit. I'm very excited to see what Devontae Smith is able to do. I'm excited to see if Jalen Reagor can actually prove to be worth some semblance of, you know, his draft slot. And I'm excited to see if Quez Watkins can have that breakout season. There is going to be a lot of storylines following this unit all season. And it's going to be interesting to see if they can actually, you know, put something together and form a formidable enough unit to, you know, not be a complete zero. Because last year, the wide receiver position was a complete zero for the Eagles.
So I actually disagree with you about being confident in Reagor, and I have no logic or evidence to back it up.
Other than uncertainty, I'm with you.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's probably PTSD from past draft mistakes, and I just learned to not love again. But I'm not that confident. I know we have like a new coaching staff, and you made me think about it when you said that you think they could scheme the playbook into fitting his style of play. But I don't know. I guess I'd say I'll believe it when I see it. But yeah, I'm not confident.
If I may bounce off that, I think the wide receiver core, if we're going to determine how good the coaching staff is this year, specifically Sirianni and the offensive coaching staff, I think the wide receivers are important to look at for that. I think they'll be a good bellwether for how creative the playbook is, all that kind of stuff, because you got to use Reagor in a lot of different ways to really make him truly effective. Smith will be a rock solid number one for the most part, but Reagor, Quez Watkins, the rest of those guys, they will need help from the coaches.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes here. I don't want Vinny suggesting that my legacy and my word is tied to me being confident in Jalen Reagor. I want to see if they – kind of like what you're saying there, Alec. I want to see if they're able to scheme him up in certain ways that make him productive. He is still – I guess you can call him NFL fresh. He hasn't been around very long, and he hasn't been productive. But he also, I think it's fair to say, he hasn't been used to what his supposed strengths are. So I'm. It's more about me just being excited to see if he's able to turn into an actual contributor for this offense, because obviously they used a first-round pick on him. They drafted him ahead of guys like Justin Jefferson specifically. They need to get something from him this season, or else his stock is completely down, and it's likely going to be on the coaches to be able to put him in the right position to succeed.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, you're suggesting that I'm out here.
I'm not suggesting anything.
He's trying to make it interesting for the listeners.
Listen, this show needs some hostility and animosity between the guest star and the host, and I'm bringing that to town.
I agree with that. I disagree with you about being confident about Jalen Reagor. Where did I say I was confident about Jalen Reagor?
That was like the first sentence that came out of your mouth was, no. I'm confident. What?
I said I'm excited to see if he can prove to be something.
That's not what the word confident came out of your mouth. 100%.
If only there were some way to track what each person said on this pod.
You'll see in the editing. You'll see.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it's not.
You're going to edit it out if you hear it.
Yeah, you're going to cut it out.
Cut that shit out. Absolutely. No, I'm not. I'll leave it in there. If it's not in there, it doesn't matter because people are going to think I cut it out now anyway. So I'm saying I'm going to leave it in.
All right.
I'm not confident in Jalen Reagor. I'm excited to see if they use him correctly.
You 100% said confident.
This is where Zoom cuts off the meeting.
Zoom's had enough of us. They're going to cut us out now.
To hell with them.
Whatever. You know who I'm not super confident in is the running back unit.
Oh, we disagree again.
Yeah.
Disagree again. I like Miles Sanders. I really like Miles Sanders. I'm concerned about his health. I really like Kenneth Gainwell, though. But, you know, the unit for running backs right now is Miles Sanders, obviously, as the starter. Boston Scott behind him. Kenneth Gainwell behind him. Sanders missed a lot of time last year. He also, for whatever reason, probably Doug Peterson, didn't get as many touches as he probably should have. And as a result, he did not have what we have come to expect from him as a typical Miles Sanders season. I guess he is still looking to – you can't really say break out with him because he has performed, but – really jump into that upper echelon of top backs. My main concern with him is staying healthy, but I do think that when he's on the field and when he gets the opportunities and touches, he is going to be a very, very solid contributor for this offense.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Sanders this year. I don't know. Again, it could just be I'm not paying attention. I'm not super concerned about his health. I think as long as he does stay healthy, I think he's going to do what people think he's going to do or better. And then I think his backups are fine. I mean, I've liked Scott since we started seeing him, and I'm excited to see, Gainwell start playing, hopefully get a couple of touches. The thing I'm most excited about, and I'm sure a lot of fans agree with me, is I'm very excited for when game time starts to play the drinking game. How many times are they going to mention that Miles Sanders backed up Saquon Barkley?
Good one. That's a good one.
I really think that for the Eagles offense to be like fine or above average and make up for other deficiencies, Sanders has to be there and he has to be really good. Like, I think he has to be the most important skill position player on the team, like the most used guy. I think the Eagles offense is going to have to be based on him. Or Gainwell, or in some cases, Boston Scott. Like, I really think the run game is going to be crucial to this team being good or like average or horrible. I think that'll be really important to this team. And I think that Sanders can handle it if he can stay on the field. And also if he can catch the ball. He randomly has some not so great drops out of the backfield. So if he can clean those up and he can stay on the field, I think that he will be effective. I'm with Vinny that I'm pretty confident that he will be. And the offensive line will probably take care of the rest for him.
Yeah, my saying that I'm not excited about the unit is very overblown. It just comes from the concern that he is maybe not going to be on the field as much as we want him to. But that also could be overblown. I'm just trying to create that hostility between you and I, Benny.
Yeah, you're backpedaling. You're backpedaling.
No, this is very fabricated, and I think the people at home deserve to know. Just looking at last season, like he – and I told you, I blame Doug Peterson for it. He wasn't given the touches he deserved. I forget what stat it was specifically, but like yards per touch, whatever, was one of the best in the league. But he, I don't think he had a single game where he had 20 carries. I think we're going to see a very run-heavy offense this year, especially with Jalen Hurts as a developing quarterback. And, you know, Boston Scott, we've had a lot of fun times with Boston Scott, specifically whenever they play the Giants. I think he should start whenever we play the Giants because he just happens to eat them up every single time. Kenneth Gainwell, I've been on record saying that that's the best running back name I've ever heard in my life. But it to your point, Alec, it is going to be on them to, specifically Sanders, to really carry this offense. Because if Hurts has, we talked about it with the tight ends, if he has them to lean on and he has a top-tier running back to lean on as well, it's going to do wonders for his development. So we will see, you know, what the season brings for Miles Sanders. I know I have him on at least two fantasy teams, so I'm hopeful that he returns to top back, top, like, what? Where would you put him in the league right now? Like, top 8 running back?
No.
No?
Yeah, maybe 12, like 9 to 12 range, probably.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, okay. I'm trying to think.
He could fix that. He could obviously improve upon that, but I think it's just cautious.
My favorite thing about Sanders is his like level of shiftiness. He's very good in the open field and not necessarily breaking tackles, but eluding them. So I am interested to see what the offense looks like with him. You made a good point, Alec, about the drops, but I think that you know, if they don't get burned by that, or you know, he cleans it up, it's going to be a positive thing for the Eagles, obviously.
Well, maybe now that he has an accurate quarterback, he'll have a better time.
Whoa.
Than that.
That's a good point. He's not going to have a quarterback throwing balls at his feet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is a Carson Wentz hate podcast.
Is Jordan Howard on the practice squad?
Vinny wants me to drink on this pod. Cool.
I was going to say, can I curse?
Yes. Want to talk about, let's look up where, yeah, you can, of course. You can
curse. He's on the practice squad, but he is protected, which means there's a chance that he could be called up to the active 47 on game day.
I can't believe that guy's on the fucking roster.
He's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow.
He should call him up and trade him to the Ravens.
Yes, trade him to the Ravens. That's what I said. Dude replied to me.
What?
Sorry. I quote tweeted Adam Schefter, and I was like, I'm hearing that the Ravens are interested in Jordan Howard. And this guy replied to me and asked what my source was. I'm like, dude. Like,
source question mark? How about the Ravens, man? That sucks.
Oh, God, that's hard to see.
Shame, man. And Mark, did they confirm Marcus Peters?
They confirmed it.
That sucks, man.
I said the first thing I said after those two injuries was someone should probably check out that field.
Yeah, like maybe they should stop playing. Considering they have a quarterback who relies almost completely on his legs, they should probably check that field out or stop playing.
We just saw Nick Boyle got sat out today, too.
No.
I mean I saw a comment under it. It was like, are they playing on concrete? I mean, I don't know. I genuinely think they should check that field out because that's what – I don't know if who's – why am I blanking on the name? The original running back that got hurt.
Gosh, J.K. Dobbins.
No, before him.
Yeah, J.K.
Dobbins. It was his an ACL tear too?
Yeah, he tore his ACL.
To get three ACL tears in the span of like a week and a half – is out of this world.
Yeah,
especially before week one.
We've heard it. You know, we heard about it last year with Saquon's injury. Although the Giants field, the Meadowlands, is a little different because it's a natural field. Last year there was an ample amount of knee injuries that came out of games at MetLife Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Is it MetLife Stadium? It is, right?
I believe so. MetLife.
Yeah, right. Because I've heard they call it the Meadowlands too. It's the same spot. There was like a lot of dialogue last year about moving away from artificial turf, which I think would probably be a good idea because these guys are too big, fast, and strong. They just cut too hard to be running on that type of surface. Because if anybody that's ever played on artificial turf before knows that there's no give to it. It's not like natural grass with where there's dirt underneath. There's no give to it. So really is a shame, especially, you know, for what's supposed to be one of the top teams in the league to lose such important players coming into the start of the season. Really sucks to see. So now it's finally time to talk about the most important position, the most hotly contested position on the team. Got some new faces. Gardner Minshew is here. It's Minshew Mania. I know you guys are as excited as I am. The quarterback position for the Philadelphia Eagles, the most important position in professional sports. Jalen Hurts is the guy. We all knew it. I'm very happy they didn't come out and do the whole thing where the head coach gives a press conference and goes, yeah, he's our quarterback. He's our quarterback. Because if you do that, that means your quarterback is probably not good. Like Brian Flores had to do that with Tua in Miami. If you have to come out and say that the guy's the quarterback, it's not really a good sign. This is a very big year. We talked about this year being kind of a, you know, punt on actually competing just to see what they really have in Jalen Hurts to know if he's the guy moving forward. Obviously a very contentious pick when it was made. And, you know, it's turned out that it is a pretty important one to have been made by Howie Roseman. I know personally I'm very excited about watching what Jalen Hurts has to do this season, has to prove this season. But I am excited to hear your guys' takes as well.
Yeah, I think even under the circumstances, I think Hurts is going to perform really well. And I also think that aside from the Devontae Smith pick, getting Gardner Minshew was probably the best move the Eagles made in the offseason. I think that was a really, really good move. Because, you know, I know there's a lot of like jokes and stuff when we got him. It was like, oh God, they're already not confident in Hurts. But I mean, if you really look at it, it's a good move to keep him. You have to remind me, what did we give away for him?
It was a conditional sixth that might be a fifth if Minshew starts at least if he plays at least 50% of the offensive snaps in three games.
I'm 110% fine with that. I think Minshew showed glimpses of being a pretty good quarterback. I don't think he's a starter, but in terms of, you know, if we're looking at maybe Hurts misses a couple of games, God willing, not like half the season, but just a couple of games where Minshew needs to come in, or I mean, even Flacco didn't look terrible in the preseason, and I was one of the people who was really happy they brought in Flacco, because I mean, that's a really good person to bring in to keep under Hurts. I mean, a Super Bowl MVP, winning MVP. I mean, that's the best you're going to get in terms of a veteran helping out a second, third year player. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. I think the strategy with the Minshew trade is a little weird, just because if Hurts gets hurt, like how good are you? What are you doing? Like, you're just at that point trading for Minshew, you're just capping yourself from bottoming out, which I guess from an optics perspective, maybe you don't want to tank, but me, I'm a very pro tanking guy. So I would have actually liked to see if the season goes awry, maybe them getting their number one pick next year, getting close to it would have been fine, but whatever. The Eagles have always stressed the back of the QB position for the past, like, you know, several years, literally since Laurie and Roseman were in charge. Basically, the backup QB position has been an emphasis of theirs. So it's not surprising that they went after Minshew, and it's hard to dislike Minshew either. He's an awesome guy. He's very performative to the press. We know all his antics, so it's nice to have him. But the main event, of course, is Hurts, and he is the most important player on the roster this year for determining how good they are. And I think he's going to be pretty good. I do have concerns about if he's just pretty good and he doesn't show anything where he like is confirmed to be the guy. I wonder what the front office is going to do next year, but that's a problem for next year. Let's enjoy this year while we're at it. I know Vinny's sighing in the background.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately the Eagles front office will be, and they have, hence why they're in Watson.
Well, rumors. I mean, I was sorry, Ken, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think I may have been talking to Joe, and, you know, we could spend Birdo all
Joe.
Day.
Birdo Joe.
Yes. I was talking to him, and we could spend all day talking about, you know, position players and, you know, what we think about each position. But in my opinion, at the end of the day, until Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman are gone, I don't see this team going anywhere anytime soon. Specifically Roseman, I'm not as worried about Jeffrey Lurie. You know what I mean. I'm not as specifically worried about him. I think there was something on the, maybe it was the radio. They were talking about how, or maybe, you know what? I think it was you guys talking about how Sirianni already seems like a yes man.
Wow. Oh, I definitely said, I said that from the minute.
That's right. Yeah. And I think I agreed with you. I think I was with Joe when I was listening to that podcast, and I think I agreed with you. And I just don't see this team going anywhere as long as Howie Roseman's still in the front office. And I'm going to hold that for a while, I think.
Yeah, I've always said that listening to Always Something with your friends is a good group hangout idea. So,
no, it just made us mad.
Well, that's good. It spurs on feelings. We create feelings with you.
That's our model.
That's our model. Create feelings and emphatic responses. I want to wrap up the Hurts talk here.
Yeah.
I am very excited to see what Jalen Hurts has to bring to this offense. I think aside from his performance on the field, the guy has fantastic intangibles. I have literally not heard anything other than glowing praise of him. His ability to be a leader, his level of confidence, his humility, like he just seems like everything you want in a franchise quarterback. His work ethic, everything has from all accounts been phenomenal. And that is one thing that makes me very excited, because with Carson Wentz in the past, there was obviously reports that would come out every single season about him being an issue with the locker room, not really being on the same page as his teammates. And that's something that, you know, when you're building your whole franchise around a guy, is going to have a large effect on the rest of the team if they don't necessarily get along with the guy or they don't really believe in him. Intangibles aside, the one thing we've heard so much about with Hurts on the field is his inaccuracy. And a lot of people cite his completion percentage. I think that's a little bit overblown. Unlike Wentz, Jalen Hurts was coached to throw the ball away when he's in, you know, he's under pressure, if he can't escape. Wentz was not that type of player. We've seen really, really good plays come from it. You know, a few that come to mind were the pile up against the Washington football, they were the Redskins at the time, in which, you know, there were like eight players on him and he escaped and ran for first down. The play against the Seahawks the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, which he was rolling towards the sideline, gets tackled and completes a 40-yard pass to Nelson Aguilar. We've seen it, you know, yield good circumstances, but we've also seen it burn the Eagles with him taking bad sacks. Hurts was clearly coached differently to get the ball out of his hands when he you know, doesn't have anything to do to not try to make a superhero play. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen – why there is more of a narrative about him being inaccurate, rather. I also really believe in his legs. I think that he has the capabilities to be the same caliber of running quarterback as Lamar Jackson. He's a different type of running quarterback as Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson obviously is a lot quicker and shiftier. But if you watch Jalen Hurts run, he runs like a power back. Like, he is a very strong runner. He is very quick to get up to top speed. And he's also a smart runner. He runs with his head up. He looks where he's going. I am really, really excited to see what Jalen Hurts has to offer this team this year. It's obviously a big season for him. It's a big season for the Eagles as well. They have to evaluate what they have in him. And I am, you know, if anybody's selling stock in Jalen Hurts for any reason, I am absolutely buying.
You got me in on him. I mean, that was a great argument. Yeah, and I wanted to, you know, I want to clarify what I said before we broke off, that I'm not saying that Hurts is not going to be good. Like, I'm very optimistic in him at least keeping the team in games and being definitely more of a game manager than Wentz ever was. And yeah, I am optimistic about what he can do. It's just that his wide receivers are not great, and that may reflect on him too.
Vinny, anything to wrap us up about Jalen Hurts, the current franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I mean,
I know you got something smart in that head.
I don't. I'm excited about him. I'm confident in him, I would say. I think it's going to have a lot to do with the players and coaches surrounding him more than it's going to have to do with him and him himself.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. That is kind of his MO, is being more of a game manager than a, you know, a Superman type guy like we saw with Carson Wentz. So it is going to be a product a lot of you know, who he's playing with and how well they're performing as well. But that is the Eagles position groups wrap up. That took a lot longer than I expected, and I'm glad.
I went off on a couple tangents.
That was a lot of very smart, educated analysis from some smart and educated men over here. Let's move into X factors for the season. I'm assuming you both probably have like one on offense, one on defense, correct? At least, right?
I wrote down a couple. I can just give one offense and one defense.
No, I was just going to frame it. We'll start with offense, go to defense. But give me your first guy. Let's hear him.
I have Devontae Smith up there. Again, this is all in an ideal world. None of these guys get injured. But this is the first time in a while that I can remember being confident in a first-round draft pick from the Eagles. I think he's going to shine, and I think he's going to shine early. And I'm very excited. I think he's going to be around for the long haul.
I think that's astute. I mean, we saw what a star rookie wide receiver could do last year, Justin Jefferson with the Vikings. If he's that good right away, I mean, that could definitely bring a boost to the Eagles offense, especially at a position where the Eagles sorely, sorely need wide receiver talent. So yeah, if he's really good and on the field, the Eagles offense takes a leap. I'm with you.
Alec, give me your first X factor.
It's going to be Mailata. I think that because the offensive line is just so important, especially left tackle, the blind side for Hurts. I think he almost has to be at least league average, like a league average starter for this offense to stay above, like above water. And if he is, and a lot of, you know, the talk of the town is Mailata right now, then I think the Eagles are in pretty good shape on offense.
I have to be completely honest about Jordan Mailata. Of the entire Eagles roster, I think he is the guy I'm least worried about when you factor in everything, injury concerns, performance. When he's played, he's been phenomenal. He's looked like somebody who's played football his entire life. And he also happens to play the most important position on the offensive line. I think Jordan Mailata is going to be a complete monster for the Eagles at left tackle, hopefully for a long, long time. There has been some talk coming into this season about him looking for an extension. I believe he hits free agency next year. So that's, you know, obviously depending on how the season goes, that's going to be a top priority for the Eagles moving forward. My first X factor is none other than Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat is, like we talked about when we were talking about the defensive line, has gotten a lot of buzz coming into this season in regards to his performance in camp. Over the past few seasons, he seems to have developed a lot more than he had in his first few seasons, and it's exciting to see him turn into what is hopefully going to be a destructive force on the defensive end. And I wouldn't be surprised if he usurps Derek Barnett in that starting role. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm excited about Sweat. I don't know if I would go as far to say he's going to take over Barnett's role, but I'm excited to see what he does at the very least.
Yeah. So give me your second X factor.
I have Alex Singleton. I think correct me if I don't even know if you know this until the game actually starts, but is Singleton calling the plays? Is he the play caller?
So he maybe Eric Wilson, because typically that is a middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do know that Alex Singleton was named a captain, so it is pretty likely that he will be the play caller.
Okay. Yeah. Because I saw last night Micah Parsons was the play caller for the Cowboys, which my first thought was, wow, he must have impressed them quickly. But I guess if it's just a middle linebacker thing, then. But, yeah, I think Singleton looks and has looked great. I think he deserves everything that's coming to him. That sounds like a threat, but it's not. I'm excited. I think he's one of these guys like Cox and Graham who just, you know, have that Philly soul, and they're going to go out there and they're going to knock some heads over.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier with that linebacking core last year just being absolutely abysmal. And he was kind of the only constant that we saw. He played almost every game. And he, when he was out there, he played pretty well. He obviously started for the unit. And, yeah, I'm excited to see that he got the opportunity to be the captain this year, one of the defensive captains. So I have high hopes for him as well, and I'm happy that he does have some help around him too, to hopefully make his job a little easier. So to wrap up the show today, I want to give you guys some bold predictions, some hot takes. It wouldn't be an episode of It's Always Something in Philadelphia if we didn't say something possibly stupid. Alec, I want to start with you. You give me your first bold prediction for this season.
Maialata finishes in the top 10 in either like passing or blocking grades from an established website like Pro Football Focus. I think he's going to finish like credibly as a top 10 tackle.
Love that. I love that. I absolutely love that. I think he's going to be one of the bright spots of this season, one of the brightest spots of this season. Like I said before, I'm a big Maialata guy. So, Vinny, how do you feel about that as well?
Yeah, I feel good about that. One of those predictions that kind of wouldn't surprise me either way if it was correct or if it was incorrect. So it would be, I mean, it would be nice if it was correct, but like one of those things where you can kind of see it going either way.
Yeah. So give me your bold prediction for this season.
My bold prediction for this season is that Alec Baum is going to finish with the highest batting average.
All right.
No.
Vinny. Bitch.
Sorry.
That was good. That was good. Painful, but yeah.
All right. All right. For real.
Then we're doing no Phillies today.
No, it was just one.
All right. Okay.
All right. My bold prediction is that I say that Jalen Hurts finishes top 5 in passing touchdowns.
Wow.
That is my bold prediction.
I love that one.
I'm actually weirdly confident in that becoming true.
Top 5 in passing?
Top 5.
So let's think of who will likely be on that list. Mahomes,
Allen, Rodgers. And then Jalen I would give it Hurts. To
I think Matt Stafford's going
to Matthew be. Stafford.
Stafford's probably up there.
Wow. What a company to be among.
That's our guy.
All right. I love it. I love it. My
mean, it's not looking great already after the Brady and Prescott combined for like 7 last night, but
yeah. They got a little bit of a head start.
So, but I'm going to stick to my guns.
I like it. That is bold. That is bold, my friend. My bold prediction is Kenneth Gainwell leads the running back in receiving touchdowns. I think he's going to be used in very like spot situations, and he's going to prove to be a pretty valuable player to have on the team. So I'm very high on Kenny Gainwell, if you guys can't tell.
Sounds good.
Can you
me.
Repeat that?
What?
Your bold prediction?
Did you not hear me?
I think I did.
Kenneth
I just want to make.
Kenneth yeah. Well, leads the running backs.
Okay. Okay. I was making sure
team.
Just.
Be the team
all right. Hey. Okay.
That would be bold.
That would be very. I think you should switch it to that and just see what happens.
Should I run with that one? Should that be the headline of the episode? Kenneth lead Eagles in receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
That would be. I think that would probably be a very bad thing.
Yeah, that wouldn't. Yeah. That doesn't sound good.
Probably going to get like
with a whopping three.
Yeah, 3 receiving touchdowns. Kenneth Gainwell leads the team. To finally wrap up, what's been just a fantastic Eagles season preview. Thank you, Vinny, for coming on.
This is just what I bring. You know, you can't teach it; you're born with it.
It's an intangible. Some final season predictions. Let's start with the overall record. Again, can't forget that we're playing 17 games now, which is a crock of shit in just a matter of the NFL.
Whoa,
it's bullshit. It's just they're doing it. Money. It's nonsense. What do you think the Eagles' final record in 2021-22 season will be?
I have us at 4-13.
Are you serious?
What?
4-13.
What is? What's happening right now?
I'm pleasantly. I thought I was gonna have the most negative outlook.
Oh, really?
Guys, yeah. Nice. That's a terrible prediction.
What?
No, it's not. 13? No, it's
you
not.
You think you're gonna lose 13 games?
Absolutely, I do.
Do you know how bad our division is?
What?
Do you know how bad our division is?
Oh my God! Do you know? Okay, stop. Because we have been the best team in our division in past years and have still lost like two or three of the division games. So I can only imagine what's going to happen in a year like this year. I have us at 4-13.
How can we have the conversation we just had about every single player on this team?
It's all relative. I'm not saying because I'm confident in Jalen Hurts that I think he's going to be better than Patrick Mahomes.
It's not even about Jalen Hurts. We talked. We said nice things about everybody, and you're gonna.
It's relative. It's relative to a season that we know we're not gonna be doing anything. You just like to see glimpses.
You think they win four games?
Four is. I think I'm being generous.
I think you're being ridiculous.
Oh boy.
Move on. Okay, state your case.
Go ahead, Alex. No, I'll do that when I give my prediction. God damn it.
Okay, fine. Well, I have.
Ken's gonna have us at like above 500. This is ridiculous.
God damn right. My prediction is 9-8.
Oh my Jesus God. Christ!
It's my ass. I am unreasonably high on the Eagles this year. We're gonna be better than people think. Jalen Hurts is gonna be fantastic. The offense is going to be better than we think. The defense is going to be fine, and we're going to win more games than we lose.
Alex, how many games are they going to win in the division, Ken? I just want to break this down.
How many games are they playing? Did they add a division this year?
No, they added. We played the Jets. That's our 17. That's our extra game.
They're going to win. They're going to win. They're going to win four games in the division.
And you expect them to win five other games?
Sure do.
All right, I gotta go check the schedule real quick because I gotta find
Let's go through.
Okay, yeah, week one, Atlanta. I assume you have them as a dub. That's like a 50-50 for me. Week two is San Fran. No way.
Depends who's starting a quarterback.
What, you mean Garoppolo?
If Garoppolo is starting, it's a toss up.
Dude, Garoppolo is way better than that. Come on.
Garoppolo stinks. Come on.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, how about going to Cowboys Stadium week three? They're getting walloped that day.
We're splitting the season series with the Cowboys.
I mean, okay. Fine, I guess. KC, not a chance.
We're beating the Chiefs. I'll take that one to my grave.
I'm saying we'll lose to the Chiefs.
Okay, Carolina is a very winnable game.
Win. Buccaneers, loss. Raiders, okay. Win. We're ripping off four in a row.
You think we're beating the Chargers?
Get out of here.
Stink.
Oh, you're crazy.
They have Justin Herbert. They have Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert's good.
That's fantastic. I like him. Like ever, bro. What are you talking
about? Of those four games, the Chargers is the hardest one. Yes.
Yeah.
I still don't think we beat.
Yes.
I don't think we beat the Raiders, honestly.
The Raiders are good, too. I think the Raiders are good, but I think we can beat them.
It's winnable, but it's not easy.
Darren Waller has a career game against us, probably.
Hey, Darren Waller's probably going to go for 200 against us.
So what the hell are you talking about?
The rest of them, they're not that good.
Oh, you're delusional.
Okay, look, New Orleans isn't that good.
I'm sticking to my guns here.
All right,
Let's keep a running tally here, because whatever I decide going through the schedule is my official prediction.
Okay.
Okay, well, after Denver, it's –
I'll give them a loss. I'll give them a loss against the 49ers. Maybe Jimmy G comes out and lights the world on fire. So okay. 1-2, 1-3, 2-3, 2-4, boom, boom, 4-4. We'll give them a loss to the Chargers. Fine. Why not?
So you have them winning. Oh, okay. Never mind. Continue.
Raiders, Lions. I lost my train of thought. 4-4, and then they lose to the Chargers, right? That's week 9. 4-5.
And they're at Denver.
Win. Denver stinks. Although I am a Teddy B guy. Saints, I don't know what the Saints are going to be this year. It depends on Jameis Winston. We'll give them a loss there. So that's what? 5-5? No.
Yeah, that's 5-5.
5-5. Win against the Giants. Beat the Jets. Beat Washington. Beat the Giants. Lose to Washington. Beat the Cowboys.
I think you're delusional.
I think I'm with Vinny on this one. I have them at like 5-12, which was my official prediction last week, and I'm going to stick to it, especially now that Vinny said what he said. And I know that one game doesn't tell everything, but the Cowboys are good. Like,
they're not that. Dak, their defense stinks.
It doesn't. It, these their days, you can have good. A mediocre defense and be their really good.
Is good. I'm not even sure their defense is mediocre. Their offense is very good, though.
Like, Dak has a bum shoulder, and he's Dak still by good. Far the best quarterback in the division.
I'm very happy that we don't have to argue that Carson Wentz is better than Dak anymore.
Yep.
So,
but yeah, I have Dallas winning the division. I have us going like 5-12 because I think, like, with a few injuries, the season could derail very quickly. Even if Hurts keeps him in a few games, I just don't think the talent around him is enough.
Look, one of us here has to drive the content for this podcast, okay? And if it's me saying the Eagles are going to go 9-8, then so be it. So be it.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'm flying a little too close to the sun, but I've been hurt before. So
yeah, we need Nicholas on this podcast.
And I'm more than happy to take on that role. I think that was a pretty productive Eagles season preview. Is there anything we're leaving out here going into the 2021 season?
I think I've said my piece.
You said your piece. Yeah, your 4-13 nonsense piece.
Oh my god.
You're not giving me nearly as much shit for 5-12.
Well, I'm just
because I said it first, and he's still mad about that whole confident, not confident mix.
Yeah, he is.
And you know, Alec, I expected it from you. You and I, we end up on opposite ends of the spectrum with optimism levels more often than not. But before we start cursing each other out before this podcast ends, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Vinny, for coming on and just spouting off at the mouth like nobody was going to stop you. I'm only kidding. This is a great episode. Very excited for this upcoming Eagles season. Week one matchup against the Falcons, the 30 birds against the birds. Going to set the tone for the season likely. I obviously have it as a win. We will see what happens on Sunday. That's all for me. You guys got anything else before we go?
No, I think I'm good.
Very astute.
Hurts rushing yards for week one, bet the over all day.
Hammered. It was like 39 and a half or something. Absolutely crushed that.
I'm hammering the under because I'm sticking to my thing about this is gonna be a hostile podcast and I'm ending it like that.
Whatever. Diff, whatever. That's enough. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next week. Go birds.
Go birds.
Go birds.